Plex helps its 25 million users manage their media lives. In this interview, the CPO explains how AI and social discovery help them get to press play faster and watch longer. Listen on for more. This is End Screen Noise. My name is Colin Dixon, founder and chief analyst at End Screen Media, and today is March 14th, 2024. Plex has been helping people manage their digital media lives for almost 15 years. Today, the Plex app is used by more than 25 million users, helping them manage all their streaming services, personal media, ratings, and watch lists. It supports search and discovery in SVOD, AVOD, and FAST services, and has just launched a TVOD store. It also provides more than 300 built-in FAST channels. In this interview with Scott Olachowski, Chief Product Officer and co-founder of Plex, he discusses how Plex's AI-powered discovery helps users find something to watch from this vast library of content. He also explains a new social feature that brings friends and family opinion into the discovery journey. This interview was recorded at the Connected TV World Summit in London on March 12th, 2024. Thanks to AdWanted Events, the show's producer, for permission to release it to you through End Screen Noise. We're going to broaden our focus out a little bit in our discussion. We're going to talk about discovery in the broader sense that consumers are in a hybrid world. Whether we're talking about consumers here in the UK who are using three streaming services plus their broadcast services, or in the US where they're using five or more streaming services plus broadcast and cable TV. So it's a very, very broad discussion when we're talking about discovery, and I can't think of a better application than Plex for getting your arms around that, and which is why we've got Scott Olachowski with us. Scott, first of all, why don't you tell us about Plex?
Yes, so some of you may or may not be familiar with Plex, so it's a tough thing to put into a quick sentence, but I break it into three components. We have a content track in the product, so we have one of the largest AVOD catalogs, one of the largest FAST collections, and just recently we launched a TVOD service in the US, and we'll expand that to more territory soon as well. So those are kind of the core content capabilities that we have, and that's the free ad-supported stuff is growing like crazy. The second pillar is what we call Discover. So we have a catalog of every movie and TV show ever made. We have universal search across that entire catalog. We have a universal watch listing capability across that catalog as well. And we also know where you can watch all of this content. So we can deep link you into that show on Netflix or on Max or on Disney or whatever in something, in most countries in the world across most services. So we have that Discover capability across all this content. And the third pillar is what we call Discover Together. So it's a social piece, the ability to connect with your friends, your family, and share your kind of watch history and your activity with them so that you can start to see very easily what is trending and popular with your friends, what your friends think about a particular show or movie, and start to get an idea of what we typically do at a cocktail party or over dinner, or when we meet people at events like this, when you start to say, hey, you should check this show out, or hey, you're going to love this because I know you're going to love this, and then people spread it on a napkin, or they put it in their little list app or whatever. We're bringing that into the entertainment experience, automating a lot of it, and trying to connect people with the entertainment that they love in a much easier fashion.
So we're going to definitely get into that social aspect in a little bit more detail. But before we get there, one of the unique things about Plex, you've been around a few years, I think it's fair to say.
I'm getting pretty old. Yeah, so this Plex actually started as a hobby of mine and my co-founder in 2007. So that's how long we've been doinking around with this thing. We formed a company in 2010 and have just been slowly building a really interesting, fun business globally.
Yeah, so I've been covering OTT since 2005. So you've been around most of the time I've been covering that. But I guess
you really started with discovery and managing, you know, all of the pieces from the very beginning. So it's kind of built into your DNA as a company, right?
Yeah, I mean, we've been big consumers of metadata for a long time. If you look at our stack today, we probably have upwards of 20 different metadata sources that we, you know, combine together using a bunch of different techniques and reasons for doing different things. But we've got probably one of the widest ranges of metadata that come together into, you know, one product, I think, maybe of any out there.
And that's really necessary in today's landscape. Just talk about some of the challenges with discovery. I mean, I know everybody in this room is familiar with those challenges, but just talk about some of the challenges from your perspective.
Yeah, so we have, you know, like I said, we're probably a 60, 70, 80,000 item AVOD catalog. And if you're familiar with AVOD, sometimes that catalog can be a little deep, a little bit crustier. It's kind of stuff, but there's some, you know, true gems in that catalog. But the challenge is, the further back in time you go, the metadata becomes a little more sketchy, you know, a little less consistent. And the less popular something is, sometimes the metadata is either, you know, non-existent or again sketchy. So one of the big challenges, we want to be able to, you know, bubble up great recommendations across the whole catalog for people, especially those that are kind of, you know, ready to go deeper and want to, you know, maybe dive down the rabbit hole. And we just didn't have good metadata to do that. You know, how do you make a recommendation if you don't have good metadata? So what we did is we found a partner, a company called Vine Labs, that actually built a system using machine learning and AI to actually watch the asset. And then from that, pull out all the moods and all the genre information and all the keyword information about these titles without any bias. It's a very neutral system and consistent across the entire catalog. So now we have very good, very deep metadata on all of these titles that we can now use our recommendation engines to produce solid, really good recommendations, and it's already showing, you know, tremendous improvements.
So let me ask a dumb question. Why do I need all that metadata? Why is it necessary?
Yeah, I mean, when you're building a recommendation engine, you're going to use as many different signals as you can to produce the best possible recommendation, but understanding what the content is to us is fundamental, right? So actually understanding not just what someone wrote about the movie, you know, when they were trying to sell it back 10 years ago or whatever genre they thought would be the most, you know, interesting genre at the time for it. We actually really want to understand what this movie, what this show is about at the deepest level, because then we can start recommending stuff appropriately.
So that's really helpful, because when, I mean, I've seen some data in the US that shows only 18% of the time people know the particular show or the particular person that they're interested in seeing. That really helps with the other 80% of the time, right? Explain that.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you'll find is a lot of the metadata over, you know, especially older, it's been gamed, right? It's a lot of the metadata you have is just, it's marketing metadata, right? It's not necessarily, you know, the actuals of, you know, of what it is. And then you just try to build recommendations on top of that, and garbage in, garbage out, right? So yep. For us, it really is, it's been very helpful, because you want to help people find stuff they're going to be interested in. If you actually understand what it is, you're much, you know, more likely to be able to satisfy that and find stuff that they're going to enjoy.
Right. Now, one of the most explosively growing areas in streaming TV is FASTs. You're playing in that arena. You have how many channels?
I don't even know. The count is ridiculous.
It's a lot.
A lot, because we have a lot of locals in different markets in the U.S. and it's in the thousands.
But it is ridiculous trying to find a particular channel. Last year, I think it was, or maybe the year before last, in the U.S., there was a channel launched called the Elvis Presley Channel. And so if you were an Elvis fan, you were probably very interested in that channel. I couldn't find it on 4 out of 6 of the top platforms, top FAST platforms. I could find it on Plex, which was good news. But this is a continuing problem, right?
Yeah, I think so. They got kind of three problems all in one there, right? You got too many channels, and you're now expected to scroll through this guide and, you know, get some sort of repetitive stress issue with your thumb. Two is, you know, the system doesn't always know what's really on, right? They haven't been built that way traditionally to really understand the EPG data and connect it back to the actual metadata. And then three is just the interface itself is not a great, you know, way to actually get to the content. So that's that for us. With all of the fast, and what's great about the fast stuff is the content is getting better and better every day, right? The quality of the content, the quality of the programming is improving, but the discovery, you know, side of that has, I think, suffered. It's become, you know, more and more challenging as it's easier and easier to aggregate more content. So we've been spending a lot of our resource on actually, you know, understanding the metadata, understanding the EPG, connecting it back to what we call our Mediaverse, and then all this true metadata that we've developed, and then feeding it back into the recommendation engine. So we can now start to show you what's on right now that you might enjoy, what might be on soon, and even soon we'll give you the ability to set up alerts and notifications for content that may be something you'll really enjoy but would never find on your own.
So one of the things, to be specific, one of the things that I find when I use Plex is when I do a search on a genre or a type of content, you actually tell me about the fast channels as well as the on-demand assets. It turns out a lot of your competitors and a lot of the other platforms out there just aren't doing that.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, it's difficult to actually get a good match on some of these things. And some of the channels will never match, right? A news channel or some of these short form, you know, channels. Just it'll never have, you know, metadata. But if it is a movie or TV show type thing, we can map it to it. We'll actually, in our system, mark a show or a movie as watched in your profile. You know, if you're watching the whole thing, that's a pretty strong signal. You might be looking for more content like this, and that feeds into the recommendation engine. So there's a bunch of real good reasons to try to understand what people are actually watching and what's on.
Right. Now, despite all the work you've done, despite all the tens of millions of dollars that has been thrown at discovery and personalization, still, the number one way that we find stuff to watch is friends and family recommendations, right?
Yep.
That's still the number one way. You are bringing that experience, the water cooler experience, the chat experience, into the discovery process. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so the product term for it that we have is called Discover Together. And the idea is exactly what Colin said. Most of the times, I'm deciding to what to watch based on what my friends and my buddies are telling me. Hey, you're going to love this. You got to check this out. And it's completely, totally disconnected from the actual entertainment experience, which to me has just been a flaw since the beginning of all this. So if you could somehow bring the two together, you know, what's possible. And that's what Discover Together is. I can now, you know, choose to follow close friends and family. It's not intended to be LinkedIn where you've got 4,000, you know, whatever, you know, connections. It's really the people that you trust and the people you would be socializing with around content. And we make it very, very easy for you to, I can search for any piece of content in the world. I can one-click recommend it to you. You can one-click add it to your watch list. That watch list is available on all of our interfaces, on the web, on mobile, and all of our TV apps, you know, period. And then it automatically, if I watch it on Plex, it'll automatically mark it as watched. It'll show up in the activity feed. I can go in and mark any show, whether it was in the theater or on Netflix or on whatever. I can mark it as watched. I can mark a whole series as watched or a season as watched. And that activity will start showing up to my friends. And what we do is we start to aggregate that, right? So I can start to show you what's trending with your friends, right? So you get an idea what your friends are watching. I get an idea, you know, Colin might be the guy I trust for sci-fi recommendations. And I want to see what he's watching and what he's recommending to people. And it's very easy for me to see that. I could go into any movie or any TV show and see what my friends have rated it, right? So I can get a, you know, a Rotten Tomatoes score of my friends, right? Not critics, not random people, but an actual, you know, people I know, and seeing what they're recommending. So for me, it has literally taken the kind of normal browse experience and deciding what to watch experience from black and white to color. When I'm trying to choose between show A and show B, I am consistently now using these social kind of cues and the other things that I'm seeing there to decide what to watch. And, you know, it's one of those things that if you haven't done it, you don't realize it, but as soon as you start doing it, you're like, you don't want to let it go.
Yeah.
Powerful.
Silo on Apple TV, by the way. Silo.
Yeah, that's the one.
what I love about this social feature is that it's the way it's been inserted into the interface. You put it at the point of decision making. When I found a show, it's right there. What my friends think of that show. That That must have been an evolutionary process figuring out where to put it in the interface.
Yeah, I think, you know, at first the most powerful thing for me was just like, what are my friends watching? Like, what is popular with my friends right now? Because I think we are social creatures at heart, and watching stuff that you might be able to socialize with people about is powerful in itself. So that was kind of step one. And then step two was realizing how important it was to get that information at that decision point, right? At the point where I'm like, all right, I'm going to watch this or I'm going to watch that. My most valuable time is my leisure time. How am I going to spend it? And this becomes just a huge, again, I can read what the critics say. I can see what the, you know, the amalgam IMDb score is or whatever. It means a lot more when you know that this is the stuff that, you know, your friends are recommending to you or what they're watching and how they're rating it. So it's, like I said, it changes the way you consume and the way, how you make that decision.
The other thing about this is, you know, obviously we're talking with each other on social media about content that we like, but that's essentially disconnected. What this does is it connects the social into the experience, but it's portable because I've got Plex on my phone, I've got Plex on my tablet. So at the point when I'm deciding what I want to watch that night, I have the same tool available to me that I'm going to be using that night.
Exactly.
And that seems to me like a real differentiator.
Yeah, no, I think that's it. The other thing that we get out of this, as I said before, when you talk about recommendation engines, the signals are, you know, really, really important. And knowing what people are recommending to their friends and what those people are choosing to add to their watch list and what they're actually watching and then how they're rating it, those signals are invaluable for the recommendation engine, right? You start to see these little networks, you know, the content starts to, you know, kind of spread virally across these networks, and you start to see how, you know, one group connects to another group. So we're starting to, the insight that we're getting from these connections with the data is helping us discover, you know, what's trending, what's happening earlier, right? And then you start to find these influencers that have an outsized influence on a network of people. So we're starting to see that in the data, and that data is now feeding into the recommendations, and the recommendations are getting better and better because of it.
Very good. And you mentioned you're using AI to help enhance the metadata. Are you using any other ways in your
process? Yeah, so we're obviously, because it's, you know, with the Gen AI stuff, it's almost impossible to ignore the power of it. So we're internally starting to play with tools that, you know, let you have a conversation to find that next thing to watch. But it's driven by the quality of the metadata that you can actually feed it, and it's also driven by these other signals. So we're starting, it's early, we haven't launched anything, we haven't announced anything, but it's really fun to see how these tools can, you know, be a conversational tool to help you find something based on your mood and based on, you know, stuff you've already seen, and it, you know, it knows everything about your history, so it can start to almost be like a shrink for, you know, your content consumption.
So, in the last couple of minutes here, tell us about some of the things that you're thinking about going forward. You've told us where Plex is today. What are some of the areas that you're going to pull on to enhance that discovery experience going forward?
Yeah, so one of the areas that you'll see us push into is more public facing side of this community piece, this social piece. So you'll be able to create, you know, the Collins page. You can have your history, you'll be able to post your reviews, you'll be able to post your lists of, you know, the sci-fi, you know, movies that you're recommending this week, this month. I can follow you, you know, I use you as an expert. I may not know you, but I can follow you as an expert because, you know, you've built up, a, you know, some credibility on something. So making this more and more public is something that we're gonna push hard on. You know, there's a ton with around the fast stuff, there's just a ton that we can do to help that become more discoverable. So a lot of the work we're doing is helping bring all of that fast content to people at the right place and time. And, you know, we're going to continue to expand the content offerings and just how everything works together.
That area seems like it could be particularly fruitful. One of the things that we just talked about this morning was the TVOSs, and all of them now include fast channels. One of the problems there, though, is that there's this tension between what the content provider wants, what the user wants, and what the TVOS provider wants. There's, you know, sometimes they may not want to tell you about a channel because they want a content provider to pay them to tell you about the channel. Any areas where you're exploiting there?
Yeah, I mean, we're in a, you know, we get caught a little bit in the crunch ourselves sometimes, where, you know, the higher quality content has demands on placements and things like that. We're trying to become a very neutral recommender, right? We don't want to have a vested interest in what I recommend. We want to provide the truest, most honest recommendations we possibly can. So we're going out of our way to try to avoid some of those things that make it difficult to be honest, right? You know, whether it's paying a certain amount for the content or having, you know, committing to certain placement things, etc. We're trying to maintain a purity of the recommendations as much as we can. That's where we think we can add the most value to the world.
Very good. And just in some, in the last question, you mentioned you launched a TBOD store in the U.S. When will we see that here in Europe, do you think?
I can't say exactly when, but the way we chose to build this was so that we could get there as quickly as possible. So this year is still in the cards.
Yeah. And when you have that, then here in Europe, they'll have a single app that they can basically do everything, right?
Yeah. Pretty close.
Very good. Scott, thank you for particularly the social discovery. I thought was the most interesting part of the solution for providing Plex. So thank you for telling us about that and the whole solution. Thank you for your attention.
This podcast is the property of Endscreen Media, all rights reserved.